And so let's jump into conscious capitalism. I mean, let's just start there and kind of, you know, so you throw out Robson, which a lot of our listeners are not familiar with. And again, my job here on this call is not to be in the kind of, you know, Oxford philosopher or spiritual teacher mode, which I live in other times, but to make sure that the beautiful things that, you know, John and Rob are saying don't get lost here. So Rob just threw something out, conscious capitalism. And a lot of people are saying to themselves right now, what's that? Right. So, John, Rob, tell us a little bit. You're both involved in a movement. I think you were, you know, started, you know, with a number of other people, you know, together a bunch of years ago, conscious capitalism. And again, there we have these two words together that don't often appear in the same place. And so just in putting them in a sentence together, you're correctly overcoming the polarity between consciousness on the one hand, right, and capitalism on the other hand. So, John, conscious capitalism, what's that?
Well, it's exactly what I've been talking about so far.
Okay.
And it's, we tend to, first of all, you've got to make a distinction perhaps between conscious capitalism and conscious business. And conscious capitalism would be becoming more aware of the elements of that make up for capitalism in a way that is performed in an ethical way, freedom of free trade, freedom of exchange, property rights, those type of underlying economic truths that undergird capitalism. Conscious business is what we mostly talk about when we talk about conscious capitalism, and that is business that, A, is in touch with its higher purpose or its deeper purpose that goes beyond just making money and making profits and maximizing shareholder value. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but that's just a very narrow definition of business, which a business can have a higher purpose, and it needs to come to understand what that is to become conscious of it. The second principle would be the stakeholder philosophy, understanding that business is these exchanges that business makes, that you have a group of stakeholders, customers, employees, suppliers, investors, communities, and the larger environment that are all interdependent upon one another. And so in a conscious business, you come to understand the relationships that exist between those interdependent stakeholders, and you manage the business in such a way as to optimize value for all of those stakeholders and not just one particular stakeholder, such as the investors. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, you have leadership that is not in it strictly for themselves, that is leadership that's conscious and tries to fulfill the purpose of the business, manages with a stakeholder philosophy. And the fourth part of it is you create a culture in the business or the organization that reflects the purpose. You set up strategy, structures, and processes that reinforce the purpose and reinforce the stakeholder philosophy and helps produce conscious leaders. That's kind of it in its most abstract but succinct.
So let's start there. That's four. I mean, John just laid out for us, you know, four very, very clear, you know, kind of directions. And let's touch in, you know, John, with you and with Rob on each one of those. Let's start with number one. So John starts with, right, a business, conscious business, and kind of making that distinction between the more meta frame of conscious capitalism. Conscious business is to be a business to be in touch with its higher purpose. Now, of course, we're used to hearing about purpose, you know, in the general religious community. Right, Rick's book, Warren, great book, Purpose Driven Life, from a kind of fundamentalist Christian perspective. From a more integral perspective, you know, Ken and I have been talking about, together with Rob, this thing we call unique self, right, living your unique self. So you're suggesting that a business, right, has a higher purpose, which is beyond the important accomplishments of being, you know, solvent and creating, you know, simple, important, critical economic value. And just to say clearly to everyone, economic value is a big deal. Human dignity is directly linked up with having simple economic needs met. And as Maslow pointed out, if your safety needs, right, if your survival needs aren't met, there's nothing you can do in higher consciousness. So let's establish as a given that that's a great good for the business to be, you know, solvent and to pay its employees and to create value. But you're pointing to a kind of higher purpose for a business. You said a business would be in touch with its higher purpose. So tell us, you know, John and then Rob, more about that. What does it mean for a business to create a higher purpose beyond its kind of classically understood bottom line?
You know, one of the best ways to get for people to understand how business can have a higher purpose is to think about the not-for-profit sector of our society.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about not-for-profit sector, we come to understand that those organizations are created for, they're not there primarily to make money, right? So they exist for some deeper, higher purpose. We understand that in most professions, doctors, their deeper purpose would be, or higher purpose would be, to heal sick people. Teachers, to educate people. And it's funny that we only think of business as somehow or another less than fully human, not having any purpose other than a simply a money machine. It's that's ultimately disrespectful, and it's just not.
It's not loving.
It's not loving. It's very much.
It's not loving.
It isn't.
Not even accurate.
So, I wouldn't pretend to say what any other business's deeper purpose or higher purpose is. That's something that has to be discovered or created by the people who have created the business or are leading the business or are the stakeholders that are invested in the business. I can say Whole Foods is continuing to discover its deeper purpose or higher purpose. And in our case, it's selling the highest quality natural and organic foods in the world, trying to help people to reach their highest potentiality in terms of their health and well-being through healthy eating education. I can talk about our team members being self-actualized and reaching their fullest potential as human beings. I can talk about our commitments to our communities. And it's getting in touch with all of that. And if we try to get to the very deepest levels, you get into almost Platonic ideals, the good, the true, the beautiful, perhaps the heroic. And I think a business, as it goes on a discovery of who it is, just like an individual has to discover what their higher purpose is. A business, in a sense, is merely it's a collection of individuals that are working together, usually in pursuit of some higher and deeper purpose. And they're on a journey together. It's an adventure. It can be great fun. And so I do think purpose energizes people, and you get the higher part of you. Human potential flourishes best in organizations that are activated by purpose. And it has to be authentic. It has to be genuine purpose. But when it's there, better human flourishing occurs. And so it's to create 21st century organizations that humans flourish in business, it's essential that businesses become more conscious of what their purpose is and why they exist and what they're trying to do in the world. And they should look to the not-for-profit sector as teachers in this regard, because the not-for-profit sector is much more in touch with purpose as a general rule than the business side of things, but it doesn't have to be that way.
That is just, I mean, that's just a nuanced and just such a helpful and great response. So just thank you for that. And I just have to, there's so much that you said. I'm going to turn to you, Rob, in a second. I just want to just make a Whole Foods comment, you know, a man from the street. When Rob, Ken, and I have been working on this unique self idea, which is kind of our revisioning of the next step of kind of individual development, I needed a place to sit and write, John. And I don't like writing at home, so I've always historically written in cafes. So I used to write in cafes in Jerusalem, and I was living in Salt Lake City when I was writing, and I couldn't find a place to write where the writing was flowing. And so I went to the Whole Foods near me. This is absolutely true. And for whatever reason, sitting in the space that they had, right, something felt good about the subtle energy in the store. And subtle, I'm a mystic scholar activist, so I get to talk about subtle energy. It's a real thing. Something felt right in the store. And I actually sat and wrote most of the Unique Self book, right, about to come out in Whole Foods, right, because I actually felt good, right, in the environment there, not because just people smiled, but because you actually felt something in the subtle energy, which you've actually just explained, that there's something in the root, right, of Whole Foods, which is about this higher purpose and all the ways you expressed it. And I just want to share with you just from the street that you actually can feel it in the store. And that's just a gorgeous thing. So a thank you for everybody, you know, who kind of enjoys, right, what you're offering there, you know, for kind of creating that kind of context.